Even the best of relationships can become complacent. In today's episode, we're going to talk about becoming the designer of your relationship through creating very intentional and meaningful rituals. Up next on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charla Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another new episode. We are really excited about today's episode because it's a topic, first of all, that we love to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We love this one.
And it's something that has made such a significant impact in our own relationship. I think that's why we love to talk about it. It's made us better friends. It's made us better lovers. Mm-hmm. It's created more unity, more joy. And it's something that we've become really intentional about over the last probably 8 years, and something that it's paid a lot of dividends for us in our relationship. It's a really popular topic here on the podcast. We do touch on it from time to time, and we often get asked to speak about this topic quite a bit.
Well, pray tell, what topic is this?
We're going to talk about rituals of connection.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to start us out?
Yeah. So rituals of connection. Rituals are kind of like habits, but instead of habits that you might think of, like maybe for taking care of your health, drinking water, brushing your teeth, think of rituals as habits that strengthen and protect your connection in your relationship.
That's good.
All right. So having that as our framework, let's ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Okay. Is growing apart something that is just inevitable? It's going to happen in your relationship.
Is it something that just mysteriously happens to some couples and then not to other couples? Or is there a reason for why couples drift apart?
And perhaps maybe a better question is there something we can do to prevent this from happening in our relationship?
So let's answer that with a story.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you guys a story. So yeah. After a decade of being married, Elena realized that her love for Marcus was really no longer making up for the resentment that she felt growing in their relationship on her part. Ooh. When they got married, Marcus fell in love with Elena's fierce work ethic, her independence, and Elena was attracted to Marcus's dependability, his character, his gentle heart. But in recent years, Elena caught herself doing a lot of measuring their relationship against other people's relationships. And she noticed that she was easily getting annoyed and critical of just little things, you know. It was getting harder to give Marcus the benefit of the doubt. She rolled her eyes at everything, the coffee mug that he left on the kitchen counter.
I've done that.
Jacket that he draped over, the chair that bugged her. And their evenings just seemed to dissolve into separate orbits.
Ooh, okay.
One day, Elena summed it all up and she said, Marcus pours everything into work and he comes home empty. There's nothing left for me. There's nothing left for the kids, not even the house or the dog.
And as you listen to this story, you might relate a little bit. And the truth is, just because you fell in love with someone does not mean that you're going to stay in love. Love stays alive because you prioritize it and nurture it. So what was missing from Elena and Marcus's relationship? Well, they were emotionally adrift because they're lacking what Dr. John Gottman refers to as a sense of shared meaning.
And I think, to be totally honest, we're going to talk about our own experience, but I think we've probably all found ourselves in this place at least once in our relationship, if not more than once.
Yeah, it's a motivator when you do.
For us, we certainly have. If you're feeling that emotional drift right now, you're not alone. We've been there, you know, especially when Robert and I were young, when we had young kids. That was a tough time.
Oh my gosh.
It was a tough time.
So can I tell a story about
us?
Yeah, about us?
Yes.
I mean, that's what the podcast is about. We share our stories.
Yes.
This is probably not the most flattering story, maybe.
Oh, good. Usually I'm the one telling unflattering stories.
That's right. So this was us. So there was a time in our relationship, I was busy in my career building clinics and just super busy. And this was in Southern California. I was working 50, 60 hour weeks. And, you know, occasionally I would have meetings 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. I would, you know, I just wouldn't come home. And Charlotte was also working and also managing the CEO of the household, right? So she had the kids' schedules and their sports and everything else. And we were not prioritizing our relationship. We rarely had date nights, if at all. And much like Elena and Marcos, we would just sort of collapse. That is, if she was even awake when I came home. And at that time, I also decided, because, you know, we're starting to become separate, I decided a really good idea. Let's just add more to my plate. And I wanted to get my pilot's license. It had always sort of been a goal for me, but this also started to take time out of the weekends, which was the time when I was home. And I can say Charlotte wasn't happy. She didn't really want me to do it, but I decided that I was going to do it anyway, if that gives you a little peek into how well we were communicating.
And aligned.
And aligned in our relationship. And so that means we weren't. And we were quite literally, to use a pun, we were flying in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a tough time. I was mad. First of all, there was the cost of getting the pilot's license, the time that was going to be involved, the safety factors, which scared me a little bit. And I was like, no, I just don't think this is good for us right now. And Robert was like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I've already decided this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I did definitely this was a time that we were probably the least aligned in our relationship in the 34 years that almost that we've been married.
Yeah.
So again, I'll ask that question. Did this emotional drift that we experienced, did it happen by chance or was it by a series of choices that we made? And one of the things that I do want to kind of talk about a little bit is this idea that couples often have when they're in a drift where they think that, oh, this is just a natural part of growing apart. We're just two different people and we've just grown apart.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the story that I just shared, I mean, there were some conscious decisions on my part that that built space between us.
Oh, for sure. I think there always is.
Yeah.
But oftentimes I think there's an opportunity to look at that and take ownership over those choices that we were making. But there's also sort of a temptation to say, no, it wasn't me. It was you. Or it was just the fact that we're just very different now. We've just grown apart and we've just become two very different people.
Yeah,
and to that
doesn't work for me.
To that, I would challenge, because you've always been different people.
Absolutely.
Robert and I have always been different people. Your problems are not your differences. We're all different. We don't need sameness in order to be happy in our relationships. In fact, we're never going to marry ourselves. We're never going to be with someone who's exactly like us. From the very beginning of our relationship, ours and yours, we're two very unique and different people.
It's like that Jerry Seinfeld episode when he dated somebody who was exactly like him. And at the end of the
day,
he just couldn't stand her.
Yeah.
It's like, holy cow, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah. And the truth is that most people tend to partner with a person who is wildly different and weirdly different from themselves. Each person brings almost like a unique cultural experience to the partnership. And John Gottman talks about this, and he says that every relationship is actually a cross-cultural experience. So our differences are good. We're always going to be different.
And I think we found in the couples that we coach, and even as you look around, that you tend to, you know, maybe marry or look after those strengths in your partner that you may not have. And it kind of creates this balance. There's actually a little bit of science basis for this. There was a Swiss researcher, and let's see if I can get his name right. It's Klaus Wedekind. He did this study called the sweaty t-shirt study, which you may have heard. So what he did was he had women smell men's t-shirts that they had sweated and worked out in and pick the one that they thought smelled the best, or maybe at least was the least offensive to them. And what was interesting was the women generally picked the t-shirt that was worn by the man who is the most genetically different from her. And I don't just mean genetically different, but we're talking about the specific genes, the MHC genes, which are a large group of genes responsible for the immune system.
So why would that be? Let's play with that a little bit. Why would we, from an evolutionary standpoint, choose a partner that is different from us genetically, especially when it comes to our immunity.
A greater chance of survival.
Yeah.
Yeah. We then just, if we look at this from this genetically, this genetic experiment, we would then, our offspring would have a better chance of survival.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So really cool study.
So being different isn't a problem. The problem is
when we
view our differences as a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And then we try to force the other person to becoming just like us, which ironically, we wouldn't actually like if that were to actually happen.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So now the better question that maybe we should be asking is, how do we create purposeful, meaningful, shared experiences while also being able to still appreciate and respect our differences? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because
that
brings us right back to rituals of connection. And one of the reasons I just have to share this, that I love this word rituals so much, is because to me, it signifies something. It signifies something sacred, and it's something that we protect. It's something that's highly important to us. It represents something that Robert and I are intentionally creating together that brings us closer together, that makes us more intimate and more connected with each other.
Yeah, these are excellent tools.
That's why I like the word rituals, because to me, that means sacred.
I love that. I love that. And one of our favorite rituals, which we've shared with you on the podcast before, is our annual alignment and goal setting weekend. And we've done this for probably at least the past 8 years in some form. And this is something that has evolved from year after year. And it's something that is incredibly meaningful to us. It is a non-negotiable. We block out this time. We just make sure that it happens every year. And it may have started as just us trying to get together for a date night.
Well, so actually for our new listeners, I know we've talked about this. So if you've listened to us for a long time, you've heard us talk about it before. But I think for our new listeners, it would be worth just sharing how we organize it, how we do it. Because you're right, it did evolve. At first, we had smaller, younger children that we couldn't really leave for an entire weekend.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So it started with like a day date.
I didn't think it was that complex at first, because again, this has evolved. I think at first we started talking about it like, oh, let's just plan what's coming up this next year.
Yeah, because bring your calendars to a day date.
Because it was at the beginning of the year we used to do it. And so it was a perfect time for us to reflect on the last year and then move forward. So that we would start setting goals. We'd start bringing our calendars. And then we started really getting excited, because we would set some items up for specific intentional rituals and goals for us to do throughout the year. And then the next year we would look back and we're like, that went really, really well.
Yeah.
That went really well. Like, maybe we should do that again.
And then we did it again. And then again, it evolved and it became one night. We were able to get a babysitter for one night.
Yeah.
And then it became two nights. This year, we're actually going for five nights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely changed. But, you know, we try to make it really fun and really romantic. So when we do this alignment weekend, yes, we bring a calendar. Yes, we bring a whiteboard. Yes, we're bringing like these action items. But we also know that this is our chance to have romance. And so we usually have our two of our favorite restaurants in this little town that we usually go to.
Yep.
We go to a hot springs that's there in that area, and we go for a swim. It's just a fun, intimate weekend.
I think even more than that, we always try to find and do something new.
Mm-hmm.
Each weekend, each time we do this, we're like, oh, you know what we should try next time? And there's some novelty that helps kind of create new memories and new connection around that as well.
For us, this is a ritual that is so important to us that we don't let anything get in the way of us doing this every single year. It's our favorite like trip of the year. Let's break this down a little bit more with rituals, because one thing I do want to make clear is that rituals are not always these big grand gestures like the one that we just described.
No, they're actually can be quite simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe even more day to day.
For sure. Yeah. I think most rituals are actually going to be part of our everyday flow of life. And research has shown that connection rituals can help couples to stay engaged, to stay aligned, to have more positive feelings, and to overall just boost satisfaction in their relationship.
So let's take a look at a couple examples of rituals, and you'll probably want to grab your notebook or your phone app here and take some notes. Okay, first one, we call this leave taking, which really means How do you say goodbye before leaving the house or for work each day? You know, don't just let your partner walk away without finding out something about what's going on in their day. So for leave taking, maybe an example for Charlotte and I, she is adamant that even if she's asleep, she wants me to wake her up and give her a kiss. And then I'll just tell her something quick about what's happening today. Like, oh, I have a meeting or whatever. And this kind of just keeps the connection going. So maybe you might have a ritual of maybe showering together. Maybe you create a ritual of this long hug before you walk out the door. There's tons of different ways to do it. What's another leave-taking ritual that we've talked about with our clients?
Yeah, I think the morning ritual that you create could be breakfast together.
Yeah.
It could be coffee together in the morning.
Our Mason does that. He'll do his morning ritual with his wife. They do coffee on the porch.
On the back porch before work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love the just finding out something, because that also is updating your love maps. So Robert usually finds something out about my day. I usually find out something about his day. We often do shower together in the morning, except on Tuesday mornings when I sleep later in than he does. And so but he does come over and he makes sure he wakes me up just to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So what are your rituals? You know, think about how you start the day. Another thing to think about is how you return home. What rituals can you create at the end of the day when you come home from work? Is there an affectionate way that you can greet each other? Maybe
Absolutely.
Again, with a long hug or a long kiss. You know, my favorite thing that Robert does and does very regularly, it's a ritual, is he'll come, usually wherever I am is where he'll come first. Not the garage, not getting the mail, not bringing the trash cans in. It's usually, he usually comes in and greets me and does that first. And he usually swipes my hair from the back of my neck and kisses me on the back of the neck, because he knows that's my favorite place to be kissed. And I love that. So that's a sweet ritual.
And it's funny about that ritual. I mean, I know that that's one of her, you know, we'll call it a love language, but I know that's one of the things that really lights her up, is that connection. And it is part of our ritual. So when I come in the house, even if my 16, 17 year old is sitting there with his hand up waiting for a high five, I high five him and I walk straight over to Charlotte. And it's not that I don't love my son. It's just, I want to make sure that she's the first one I connect with. And then I'm back to wrestling with him or tackling from behind or whatever it is.
Yeah.
As that goes. So that's the coming home.
Okay, so another ritual that I encourage all of my coaching clients to do is something called a stress-reducing conversation.
Yep.
And to make this a ritual 5 days a week at minimum on all the days that you're going to work, because what that does is we have an episode on this. It's a couple episodes ago. Go back and listen to it. But it's a way to insulate your relationship from outside stress. And everyone has these outside stressors from their work and from neighbors and outside family members. And you need to have some way of coming back together and being each other's ally. So you need a way to soothe, to co-regulate. And so we have a method, and it's a ritual, and it's called stress-reducing conversations, which is a daily 20-minute check-in. And it's fire. It's fire.
And so it usually starts, and it depends on how close I am to home. Sometimes I'm in an office farther away, but I will call Charla and just say, hey, want to go grab a drink? Or do you want to go pick up dinner? Or maybe should we go have a salad at one of our favorite restaurants that's down the street? And so it's just it's a great way to just connect and just listen and talk about the day. And then it helps you just connect with your partner again.
And we are talking about what happened in our day.
Yeah.
What went right? What went wrong? What went well? And if you had a really bad day, it's just a way to support, not a way to fix. It's just a way to be there as an ally.
Yeah. And for any of those, it's, you know, again, especially the stress reducing conversation, there's a great podcast on that.
We should have rituals around how we go to bed at night, I think, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. So how could you make your bedtime more meaningful? Are you going to turn off the TV? You're going to spend time connecting? Do you like to, like Charla, she likes to sit and cuddle.
Mm-hmm. Light some candles.
Yeah, maybe light some candles and watch a little bit of TV. And it's really just about, you know, putting down the devices and just being present. I think that's a great term. Do you want to pray with your partner? Do you want to read scripture? Never go to bed without having a kiss or a hug.
I think that's a good one. I think if you make one ritual out of this episode, maybe it's just that you never go to bed without a long kiss.
Right.
I think that's a beautiful ritual that you could start with. What about, let's talk about date nights and getaways. I think it's a good idea to have a weekly date night. That's something I recommend for everyone. Is that on your calendar right now? If you open your calendar right now, do you have a date night scheduled for the next 2 weeks? If not, maybe that's something you want to sit down with your significant other and plan. And maybe you do something where, he takes a turn planning, you take a turn planning. Maybe it's once a week, maybe it's twice a month, but is it on your calendar? And we would say, if you could make it once a week and try to do something at least 3 times a year where you're going away for the weekend.
Yeah, those are awesome. And one of our favorite things, especially over the summer, is just, is camping trips. And it doesn't need to be elaborate. I love this that my daughter, she's not in the house anymore. She sort of picked this up for her as well and her partner. She likes to go camping. She just comes and gets some camping gear and mm-hmm. they call it a $12 date night. It's $12 to reserve a campground
yeah.
and some firewood. Just bring some food from the fridge and you just go spend the night. And these are just a few ideas to just kind of prime the pump
yeah.
on maybe date nights and some other things. But as you become the designer of your own rituals, you now are designing your connection and you're designing your relationship.
Love it. So a couple tips that we're going to give you, maybe 3 or 4 tips on how to design your rituals that I think are really important. First is start by discussing what types of rituals you find meaningful. Like I said earlier, if these ideas work for you, great. But if they're not meaningful to you, then don't use the ideas we shared today, because if it's not meaningful to you, you're not going to stick with it.
Yeah. And if you're not a camper, don't go camping. If you're going to ask me which one should we start with, I would say leave taking, when you leave and when you come home, those would be two really great places to start.
And how you go to bed at night.
Right. And how you go to bed at night. But I like the first two because I think those two are always going to happen.
Easy.
Maybe you have small kids and somebody's sick and everything else, but you're always going to leave and you're always going to come back. And if you work a ritual around those two, I think it really becomes a lot simpler. And then make them sacred, just commit to doing them. And as you do those activities together, it becomes a little bit more habit.
Yeah.
Much the same way I come looking for Charlotte when I come home. Because now I've created this habit and it's meaningful to her. But,
another tip is to just make sure you're consistent with them, which is what Robert's talking about. And that way they become this integral part of your relationship.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, just starting small,
mm-hmm.
starting small. And it's not the big things. We know people who've we're going to take this grand vacation and it's great and everybody's happy. And then you come back to real life. These small gestures, these rituals, insulate your relationship
from the drift,
from the bumps in the road
and the drift.
Yeah.
And the emotional
Absolutely.
Drift. Yeah. I think paraphrasing Jordan Peterson, he said,
I love this quote.
It's the work you do over the dinner table and in the small moments of your life that make the difference.
It's the small things done often.
That's what we
create
say.
The biggest difference. I love that.
And you can reach out to us for help. So if you need help, in fact, we actually want to personally invite you to a private coaching live session that we're going to be doing at our retreat, actually, that we're doing on November 29th. So this is our annual event that we described to you today. And we are going to invite you to come along with us. We're going to Knoxville, Tennessee this year. That's where we're going to be doing our planning, our aligning our values, aligning our goals, aligning our vision. And so you can come along and take a little sneak peek into kind of behind the curtain, exactly what we do. We're going to go live on Zoom for about 3 hours on Saturday, the 29th. And we're going to do some actual live coaching work with you to help you get aligned as a couple. We're going to help you design goals, design rituals, and how to align your values in such a way that this is going to feel, 2026 is going to feel like the most aligned year you've ever had. The cost is very affordable, only a fraction of what I would charge for a normal session. And that makes it a really great way to experience the coaching that we do. Best of all, for our podcast listeners only, you can get a discount code. This is just for our podcast listeners.
This is so amazing.
You can use the code ALIGN and get 50% off. So it's so affordable. Just head down to the show notes, grab the link there, or you can go to masteryourmarriage.us. And there's a banner at the top of our website and you can register there. Use the code ALIGN.
So I think we're ready to add some rituals to your relationship.
I think so.
Come on over to social media, Master. So on Instagram, we're at Master Your Marriage. We'd love to have you just engage in a conversation with us. Tell us what's working. Tell us what your thoughts are. We'd love to hear from you. We want to leave you with one thought today. Be the designer of your relationship rather than an accidental participant. As you do, you'll discover deeper, more meaningful connections.
Thanks for listening to our show today. If this episode resonated with you, would you kindly leave us a review and share this episode with a couple who you know needs it? Again, as Robert said, follow us over on Instagram at Master Your Marriage and visit masteryourmarriage.us for more information.
Be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. It's the small things done often that create the biggest impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to masteryourmarriagepodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.